You have your Bibles turned to Psalms 36. Yeah, God gave me a very simple message thinking this morning about where is our trust, who we're putting our trust in. But it's what God gave me, and it's been a blessing to me. But before we get into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I do thank you for this day. I do thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, that we can trust in you. We can put our confidence in you completely. I do ask you to bless these few minutes that we have together in your word, Lord. Cause us to grow. Lord, I do pray for the many that are away from us this morning, battling different physical trials, sicknesses, traveling. I just ask that you would be with them, encourage them, and bless them. I just ask your blessing upon this hour, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalms 36 and verse 7 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." The children of men put their trust in the shadow of thy wings. How often do we? Now, who here has got that down pat, putting their trust in God? Okay, we can do this lesson then. Yeah, there's so many times in our lives where we just don't trust God. It's a simple thing, so we think. But when it comes to our day-to-day lives, we don't do it like we should. I read an interesting story this morning about a dog. Now, I love dogs. Well, some dogs, big dogs. But this dog named Hachiko in Japan back in 1923, thinking about faithfulness, trusting someone. So this dog was adopted by a man, a doctor named Yuno, I'm going to say. The two grew attached to each other. The dog would hang out and do everything with its master. The dog trusted its master. The guy would go to work, and on his way to work, he would get on the train, and the dog would go with him to the train station. And the dog would wait at the train station all day long, every day, for his master to come back from work. This went on for 2 years. The dog did this every day, just trusting that his master would come back from work. But one day, his master didn't come back. Died while at work, gone, whatever, from bleeding in his brain. So Hachiko, the dog, had confidence that Yuno would return. But Yuno was not going to return. The amazing part of the story is, for 9 years after that, the dog met the train every day, looking for his master to come back. That's just incredible. And the simple lessons that I can learn even from dogs. Now, they're not dumb creatures. Some people might think so, but Pastor and I know well enough that we love dogs. We're dog people, Pastor and I are. And we know enough that they're incredible creatures that God made. But nonetheless, a good example of something trusting, complete trust. Until the dog died, he was looking for his master to come back. Let's go to 2 Kings 18, 21. Yeah, Pastor needs a dog. Yes. 2 Kings 18, verse 21 says, "Now behold, thou trusteth upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, up unto all that trust on him." So we need to be careful where we put our trust. We can put our trust in things that, as this verse says, will stab us, will poke, it will go into your hand and pierce it. So was the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and to all that trust on in him. We go to Psalms 20. You know, you've heard, no doubt, preachers say people put more trust in Amazon than they do in God. And there's so many things like that in our lives, so many. We trust our cars more than God at times. So Psalms 20 and verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." We as Christians should be the people that are remembered as trusting in God, looking to God, not trusting in chariots, not trusting in our wheels, our toys, our inventions, our creativity, but trusting in God. The world's going to let you down. If you put your trust in men fall, and they're going to let you down. You cannot trust in your own goodness. If we go to Ezekiel 33, this right here even trips religious people up, trusting in their own goodness, their own righteousness. Yeah, even as Christians, we can fall to the same wrong train of thought, if you will. Ezekiel 33 and verse 13. Yes, "When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered for his iniquity that he hath committed, and he shall die for it." So there is many people today trusting the righteousness, which for salvation is not going to get them to the right place. There's only one way, Jesus Christ, not our own righteousness. If we go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 7 says, "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him as himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." Do not look on things after the outward appearance. That trips us up so many times, thinking about trust. We trust in this because it's faithful on earth. But God is so much more faithful. But we have to believe that through faith. It's only through faith that we can believe that. Though, so many times God has shown us his faithfulness time and time again. And then the last part of the verse says, "If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." We're not Christ by what we've done, as we just looked at our own righteousness. We're Christ based upon his righteousness. We're trusting in him. It's only through Christ. If we go to Ruth, Ruth is a great example of somebody that trusted in God. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, and start in verse 10. Let's read a few verses here. It says, "Then she fell on her face," excuse me, "and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" So Ruth came with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Israel, and she started working in the field. We know the story. But then she started working gleaning off the fields of a man named Boaz. Verse 11 says, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy captivity, and the nativity, and art come unto a place which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, And our full reward be given unto thee, the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's it right there. That's how she was, how she got where she went, if you will. She learned to trust unto the wings of God. Verse 3, and when we trust, we could go to verse 3, and when we trust in God, God works everything out. It says, and she went and came and gleaned the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, which was of the kindred of Abimelech. Now, there's some things, so many things in our lives that we could not work out. It's incredible to trust in God and to see God do the miraculous, do things that, Lord, I couldn't have worked all these things out together, even if I had full control of everything. God knows so much. He knows everything. You can't say God knows so much. He knows everything, and He's working in the lives of those that trust Him. Let's look at David's life a minute. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22. Now, David in his life had some real struggles. People coming after his own life for many, many years. And what got him through, it was his trust in God. 2 Samuel 22, starting in verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So David hears, speaking the words of this song, the day that he was delivered from the hand of his enemies. Now, verse 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. God has commanded us to trust at all times. But it's easier to trust God when everything's going well. It's easier to trust God when God works all things together for good, as it seems. Now, God is working at all times, but sometimes we have to see through faith when things don't look good. But David here is praising the Lord for being his horn of salvation, for being his rock, fortress, deliverer. He saw God's power. If we could jump down to verse 20, read that. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God delights in us. It's an incredible fact that's really spoke volumes to me in the past weeks, that God delights in us. Why not trust the one that delights in us? Why not trust the one that knows everything, that's in control of everything, and couple that with him delighting in us? It goes a long ways. Verse 31. Verse 31 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that, what? Trust in him. He's our buckler. And his way is perfect. Let's see. His way is perfect. Yes. God works on behalf of them that trust him. Excuse me. God works for those that trust him in amazing ways. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 5. It says, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. Now, I was amazed. I didn't look up exactly how many times it's in the Bible it says, because they put their trust in him. Now, we know that God is a loving God. He pours down rain on the just and on the unjust. But there's something special that God does for us, for people, for men, when we put our trust in Him. It seems like God has a special care, special eye, special hand of provision on those that trust in Him. It says here that God delivered them because they put their trust in Him. What would He have done if they didn't put their trust in Him? There's no telling. But would He have delivered them? I cannot say, but maybe not. Now let's go to Psalms 37, verse 40. Psalms 37, verse 40. It says, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him." There we have the same thing again. Because they trust in Him. What will God do for us if we trusted in Him? Let's go to chapter 9, verse 10 real quick. Psalms 9, verse 10. There's so many verses, especially in the Psalms, about trusting in the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee, for Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee." Oh, are we the people that seek God? We know God's name. It says, "And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee." Because the Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. But are we putting our trust in Him? Another verse. Let's go to Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. It's a little book. Nahum 1 and verse 7. Says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." Just still thinking about God, in a way, having a special place in His heart, if you will, for people that trust in Him. He knoweth them that trust in Him. Does God know? How well does God know us? Because our trust in Him. Just something to challenge us with. Job. Let's go to Job chapter 13. Another man similar to David, not in the same way, but similar in tons of struggles, tons of trials in his life. Job 13:15. Job 13:15. It says, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain my own ways before Him." What an incredible testimony to say, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Though God may take me home through an undesirable way, what an incredible thing it would be to say, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God even through the worst of circumstances. I choose to trust in God, for His way is perfect. He has a plan for me. If we could go to Psalms 56, the next book, Psalms 56. Thinking about a warning light, if you will, that we are not trusting God. Fear. Psalms 56, let's read verses 1 and on. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in God. In God I will praise His word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." So after reading verse 2, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up," we have two choices. Are we going to trust in God? Or be overwhelmed by your enemies, or by thoughts of defeat, thoughts of being conquered, in either way. But what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. If we're fearful, we're not trusting. But when we see the enemy coming, the temptation of fear coming, we need to trust in God. This world needs help. I was looking up some statistics this morning about how many of Americans, what percentages and so forth, suffer from great anxiety. Now, anxiety is the opposite of trust. If you're anxious about something, you're not trusting that God is working it all together for good. Now, before we read that, let's go to Isaiah 30, verse 12. The world is in desperate need for some stabilization. They're tossed to and fro in so many different directions. They're pulled from so many things. Isaiah 30, verse 12. Says, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, verse 13, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a highway, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. That's not like America. They trust in their perverseness. They trust in oppression. You can almost think about the government. And not only our government of this land, but governments of other lands, they trust in oppression, thinking that we're here to help. Right? Chapter 31, same book, in verse 1, says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stand horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. That's our country, for the most part. They're not seeking God. They're not trusting God. They're trusting oppression and perverseness. They're living for it. So anyway, these anxiety stats, the site said that 18.1% of the U.S. population, this is adults, people over 18, suffer from, said, severe anxiety. Now, we all have to admit that there are a few times in our lives where we suffer from anxiety, but this is talking severe, no doubt, long-term anxiety. 18%. That's one in every five adults in our country. So think about walking through town. You walk through 30 people. One in every five, six, right? Yeah, six of those people are going to be suffering from anxiety. Now, maybe not the very group, but as an average in the country, it's so. The ages of 13 to 18, teenagers, 25.1% suffer from anxiety. That's one in every four. And the thing that really got me thinking is that at the bottom of the page, it talked about treatment options for anxiety. There are a few things. Two of them were therapy. And who can guess the other one? Medication, of course. Like, oh, this world is so wrong. So wrong. They need God. They need to trust God. But yet they're seeking these other things. Oh, and also said about the teenagers, they often go to substance abuse, which we see that for sure. But yeah, this world needs help. 33% of Americans are under extreme stress. This is from a different poll. But 33%, that's a third of Americans are under extreme stress. And who this morning is under extreme stress? That's oh no, we got one. Oh, pray for her. Amen. No, hey, we're doing better than the average then. Yeah. We're now a third in here under extreme stress. But no, there is times in our lives where we would say, we're under extreme stress. We got so much going on, so many things that don't seem to be going right, that are wearing us out. But God's saying, trust me. Trust me. I've got it all under control. If you but trust and do my will, God will show forth his mighty hand. Let's go to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16:15. It says, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and played the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. That sounds like our country as well. Thou didst trust in thine own beauty. Yeah, that's us. Played the harlot because of thy renown. Living for the renown, living for fame, thinking you are something great. Yes, this country needs help. Our cities need help. These families need help. So thinking about leading others to that trust, complete trust in Christ, that's our ultimate goal as a church, as Christians. Let's go to Psalms 40. The peace that can only come through Christ, through His Word. We need to share it with others. Psalms 40, verse 3. It says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And that's a wonderful verse. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Has He not put a new song in each one of our mouths? A song of praise. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's our desire. That many would see our trust in the Lord. They'd say, hey, that person is at rest. Though the world, though their lives are falling apart, they're at rest. Let's go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now that's the end of my notes. We're going to finish on time for once. But I started studying at 5:30, so I didn't have tons of time. But this is a huge blessing to me to see how we can trust. And to practice this is incredible. So as we go about this week, let's practice trusting Christ. We're going to catch ourselves starting to worry, starting to fret about this or that. But to be able to conquer that and say, God, You're in control of this. I'm just going to leave it with You. I'm going to go on my way. Now there's things we need to do, there's things we need to say, and so forth. But to leave the worry part of it to God is incredible. And to look at these anxiety stats and stress stats. This world needs, as I said, stability. They need Christ above all. And obviously they need the salvation that only Christ can bring. So maybe God help us this week as we try to share what Christ has done and can do and wants to do in us. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank You for Your love. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for coming to this earth to die for us so that we can put our trust, our lives, into Your care. In order to be able to cast every burden that we have upon You, Lord, no other person upon this earth can we share all our struggles with. Lord, we admit that we ourselves get weary, we grow weary. We cannot handle every man's burden. Lord, at times we can't even handle our own stresses, our own worries, but Lord, You are telling us that You want to handle it all. Lord, we're amazed by that. And as David said, Lord, we praise You for that. Lord, we praise You for Your goodness, for Your love, Your mercy toward us and wanting to help us. Lord, us, wretched sinners that we are, Lord, we're just amazed. Lord, we praise You. Lord, help us. Lord, this world, our country, needs You so desperately. They need to find that ultimate peace that they can only have through belief, through faith, and trusting in You, Lord, for salvation. Lord, would You help us? Would You give us the words as we go about our work week? Lord, that we would have the answer for every man, that we would have the calming words. Lord, this world is literally worked up about everything. Lord, on both sides of the fence, on both sides of the aisle, they're worked up. Lord, give us peace, give us rest that we can share with others, saying God is in control and Lord, you are. So today we thank you for that. Lord, we truly do rest in your goodness. Lord, I do pray again for the many that are struggling. I pray for Mrs. Verberg. Lord, would you just be with her, be with the family, encourage and comfort. Lord, we just trust that your will be done, that your name will be glorified. And Lord, it has been glorified in her life. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I do pray for the services this afternoon at the nursing homes. Lord, would you bless those people? Would you help them to draw closer to you through these DVDs? Lord, would you bless the rest of the day today? Give those safety that are traveling this afternoon. Lord, would you bless us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.